The rest of the story. The teacher sat 13-year-old Johnny in a chair and said, "I don't think you know what this is all about." Johnny shook his head. The teacher smiled an uncomfortable smile and proceeded as delicately as possible. The most important thing about music education, the teacher explained, was focusing one's attention properly. A student is bound to be more gifted in some areas than in others. So he must learn what those special gifts are and then concentrate on those gifts. Did Johnny understand? And Johnny shrugged. The teacher gave a little sigh and went on. He confided that he'd been speaking to Johnny's harmony and counterpoint instructor. "You like those subjects, don't you?" he asked the boy. Johnny grinned, said he did. Well, as it turned out, he was quite skilled in harmony and counterpoint, so talented that the instructor had confessed hopes that Johnny might become a composer someday. But now, regarding the musical instruments, the teacher said. The youngster had tried to learn the flute, had he not? He had. What had come of that? Johnny hung his head. The flute instructor had told him his lips were improperly formed. Perhaps, the teacher said. But the boy had tried to play other instruments too, hadn't he? The oboe, for example, the clarinet, the bassoon, the French horn, and all with equal lack of success. But there was one solitary exception, the trombone. Johnny was a brilliant trombone player. "Do you see the pattern that's emerging here?" the teacher asked the young fellow. Johnny was gifted in the theoretical aspects of music, and he could doubtless earn a living playing trombone in an orchestra. And yet in neither instance was finger dexterity required. The trombone, of course, the only instrument whose pitch can be altered by moving a slide. All of the other instruments needed facile fingers. The boy pondered what the teacher had said. Perhaps it was true. He recalled what his first piano teacher at the Institute of Music had told him. No technique, no aptitude, and entirely the wrong hands for the piano. His timing was poor, his touch was uneven, his finger work was clumsy. There they were again, those stupid fingers. Well, the teacher, advising him, was entirely right. He must concentrate his efforts on composition and trombone and leave the rest to those who were otherwise inclined. Well, Johnny became the leading trombone player, first chair trombone in the Institute's orchestra. The professors were proud, his friends were proud, and Johnny was miserable. Is there a lesson in all of this for all of us? Of course there is. For while in the course of divining their futures, the Johnnies of the world must know their abilities, they must know even better their dreams, without which mere talent can bring no happiness. Johnny had stupid fingers. Oh, yes. Johnny had stupid fingers, and he knew it. But he was in love with the piano. And so, despite his own innate inability, despite the vigorous discouragement of his teachers, he remained faithful to that love, even though it meant 10 times the practice that a gifted pupil might require. Nonetheless, the world would come to know and revere the genius Polish pianist named Jan Ignacy Paderewski. And now you know the rest of the story.